You're listening to Master Your Magic, a travel podcast following the wild tales and transformations of some of the greatest adventurers today. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Master Your Magic podcast. I have Jamie Lee here with me today, and I'm super excited because she is like a traveling goddess, and we're going to dive into all things travel with her and how she got started on this path. But I want to kind of introduce her a little bit first so you can get to know her gorgeous goddess vibe. Jamie Lee is an intuitive life coach and professional dancer. She has toured the world and danced for A-list artists such as Pitbull, Tyga, Becky G, Chris Brown, Christina Aguilera, Major Lazer, and J-Lo. Whew, damn. Being on a healing and personal development journey for most of her adult life has allowed her the gifts and skills to become an intuitive life coach and help others on their own journey. When she's not meditating and being her spiritual and witchy self, she's on a stage somewhere around the world shaking her beautiful ass. She's all about balance. And Jamie, I'm going to hand it over to you just to kind of say hi to everybody and introduce yourself.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jamie. I am an intuitive life coach and also a professional dancer. I have been dancing since I came out the womb and have never stopped. And yeah, now as of recently, probably since like the middle of the pandemic, I have officially become a life coach and I'm doing both.
I love that. So because we're starting at the beginning and you kind of really nailed that you just came out of the womb like a dancing little goddess, like how did that happen? Is it something that you were just attracted to, meaning like in your soul contract, you were like, I must be a dancer? Or is it like your family has that in their background?
It's interesting because my family doesn't really have dance in their bones. Like, I don't know that anybody in my family is really good at dancing. My dad was like, he's Venezuelan. So like growing up, there was always like salsa music playing and he taught me how to just like dance salsa. But other than that, nobody really has the dance bone. I honestly give it to my mom. She just put me in dance since I was like 3 years old and I loved it. And it's just like, it's just what I do.
Yeah, I love that. And you're like kind of like a all around dancer. Like you can do it all.
Yeah, pretty much. I think, you know, when you're little, you start off doing like all the basics, like ballet and tap and jazz and gymnastics and all of those things. And then as you get older, you kind of get to have more fun and explore. And when I moved to LA, I just like took all the different classes, and I liked all the things. So yeah.
Yeah. Amazing.
All the types.
I love that. Yeah. So I'll let everybody listening know how Jamie and I met. And I just call you Jamie Lee, but like I've known you like for 10 years. Has it been 10 years?
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, that's really weird. Okay. So Jamie and I met. We were actually traveling when we met. And there was this like audition I remember for like Puma, and I saw next door there was like a Dr. Pepper audition, and I was like, oh, I'm just gonna like go sign up for both of them. And I ended up becoming like a Dr. Pepper girl, and they like flew me around the United States. And then Jamie auditioned and she got like the part too. So we were like the first two like Dr. Pepper girls. And then there became like a whole squad of us, like eventually.
We were the OG Dr. Pepper girls.
Yeah, the OG Dr. Pepper girls. And it was fun because, you know, we would like travel all over the place. We got to, I mean, it wasn't like the best spots that you can travel to. I think it was like Dallas and Ohio and like
Orlando.
Yeah, exactly. So it was super fun. And, you know, it was fun because we had all the girls and like we had little like Lululemon outfits and we got to just like hand out Dr. Pepper and get paid for it. But don't you remember our boss was kind of like crazy pants?
Yeah, I quit because of him.
Yeah. Okay. Not like one of them was really cool, and the other one was like a
freaking.
He was creepy. Like he was the worst, and he literally like constantly made me feel uncomfortable. I was like, fuck.
1000%.
Yeah.
Very creepy, very uncomfortable, and I quit because of him.
That sucks. Have you noticed, like, because you're a sexy-ass dancer, like, has that ever happened to you again, or is it, like, something that
– No, I don't think I've come across, like, really creepy people, but there's always, like, a story playing in my mind, you know, like – being – well, most of the jobs that I do are like, you know, like I'm hired to be like the sexy girl dancer, and a lot of it is for male artists. So, I mean, there's just always that like, you know, are they attracted to me? Like, do I have to put on like a show so that they want to keep me? You know, mm-hmm. Like there's always that, which sucks. And it sucks that like I've gotten so used to it that it's just like a normal thing.
Yeah.
But at least I haven't been around anyone like super creepy like that boss we used to have. So
yeah. Yeah, totally. I would kind of guess that like, I mean, it can happen anywhere, especially like guys are just now starting to like wake up and realize like that's not okay. Like okay. It's never been okay and it never will be. But you know, I feel like sometimes in certain environments and in certain industries, it's almost like, well, hey, I hired you and you're wearing like that sexy outfit. So I have the right to like do that basically.
Absolutely. And honestly, I'm so happy that I'm like where like the world and society is going, where it's like more awareness around it. And yeah, like I said, I wasn't even so aware that I had these stories going on in my mind until like recent where I'm like, okay, yeah, no, that's not okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've also noticed when I travel, different locations around the world, men will treat you differently. Like I noticed in the Philippines, I was way more uncomfortable because men, the way that they stared at me, I was like, oh God, I don't know if I feel good like going out at night by myself here. Whereas like, you know, and you have to be careful everywhere, but certain parts of like Bali and stuff, I was like, oh, I feel fine being out here by myself because just the way the men acted towards me were just, it was totally different.
Well, I have an interesting story about that. I was dancing for Tyga. I still dance for Tyga, but we did a show in Saudi Arabia where like the women and the men in Saudi Arabia are not allowed to show like skin at all. But the women especially are literally only allowed to show their eyes. And so when we came, it was a big deal. They weren't going to let like his dancers come. And he was like, no, I need my dancers there. And they're like, well, then they have to be covered literally from neck to toe. Like,
whoa.
Nothing can, and it can't be tight clothing neck to toe. It has to be like more loose fitting. So we had to.
But like on stage though?
On stage, yes. So also like just entering the country in itself, like you looked around and everyone was staring at you because only people were only showing their eyes. And here we are in like tight jeans. And I mean, like we were putting sweaters on because we felt just uncomfortable being so different in their culture. But on stage, we had to wear, yeah, like we had to find costumes and send them pictures. And they kept saying, no, no, too tight. No, not covering them. Until finally we came, got like a hoodie and like sweatpants, and that's what we danced in.
Whoa. I don't know why, but I was like totally imagining you girls like dancing in like a freaking like full what do they call them?
I don't know what it's called, but that's what everyone else there wears, like literally only eyeballs showing. So
oh, wow. That's crazy. You're like Tyga at this point, like don't bother bringing us. They can't see our body. Like there's no point.
He was like, no, I want you guys there. We're like, okay, well,
yeah.
do it for the culture then. Let's go.
I love that. I love that so much. Oh, that's amazing. Okay, so backtracking, like your bio, I mean, it was freaking awesome. Like you've traveled with all of the people. And I was actually literally just staring at J-Lo's Instagram earlier because she posted such like a gorgeous outfit. I don't know if you saw that outfit.
I did.
I was like, girl, where the hell was she? I can't even remember.
Like in Italy or something?
Something, yeah. I was like, you look fucking fabulous. How is it like dancing for J-Lo?
J-Lo, I've only danced for her one time, but it was for the Super Bowl 2 years ago in Miami. So the only time, but literally the best time. So
yeah,
she is literally the epitome of a goddess, just the most gorgeous human inside and out, and just radiates like goddess energy. And she's such a hard worker. And she was, we rehearsed for like over a month, and she was in every single rehearsal from morning to night with us, just working as hard as we were.
Wow.
And she's also just like so inspiring and motivational, and would give us like speeches, and it was really cool experience. Yeah. Also in my hometown, Miami. So
that's what I was about to say. You were born and raised in Miami, right?
Yes. So that was pretty cool.
And you did, didn't you used to be a dancer for the Miami Heat?
Yes. For okay. 5 years. 5 years of my life, I did that.
That's amazing. With Nikki.
Yes, with Nikki.
I love it. Okay, cool. So why did you decide to leave Miami and go to LA? Like, isn't Miami just like amazing? You've got the tropical beach. Like, LA is freaking cold.
Miami is amazing. But I was born and raised there, and it was all I knew. And as far as dance, I had done everything I could possibly do there. Like, I danced for the Miami Heat for 5 years. I danced for artists and award shows. I pretty much like reached my cap of what I could do in Miami. And I wanted to like keep pursuing my dance career and expanding. And I knew that LA was the best place for that. So I moved to LA, and honestly, it was the best thing I ever did for myself. Like, you don't realize what you're missing as far as like different cities and different cultures and different environments if you never leave your hometown.
I completely agree. That's why I left Colorado, because I was like, you know, well, it's actually cold in Colorado. It's not cold in LA, but I was like, I need like warmer environment. I felt like I had like seasonal depression there. But yeah, no, I agree. Do you think LA is still the best for like the dancers listening that are wanting to kind of have that as a career?
Yeah, I do. LA, New York is pretty good too, but New York is less commercial, and it's like steered more towards like Broadway and stuff like that. There's a lot of work there. Miami now is becoming really commercial. There's like a lot of Latin artists that are touring and booking their dancers out of Miami. So Miami's great as well now, but I still think like LA is like the hub.
Yeah. Yeah. So is the goal for a dancer to be a traveling dancer? Is that kind of like what you would ideally want?
Yeah, I think every dancer has, you know, different goals as to what they want to pursue. But ultimately, I think like a huge goal for most dancers is to tour.
Yeah.
I think though, like, it also depends. Like, now where I'm at, I have toured so much that I'm like, okay, I'm done being a nomad and living out of a suitcase and never being in one place, that now I'm like, okay, I like the cute little like weekend travel shows or like the LA jobs, you know? But definitely at one point, traveling the world dancing was my ultimate goal. And I did it. I did it for many years.
Yeah, that's – yes, you did. It's so funny because I feel like I kind of watched you like – from the beginning. And what year did you move to LA?
I moved to LA in 2008.
Me too. Yeah. I think we like both moved here and right away got that Dr. Pepper thing. It was like pretty much right off the bat that happened.
Yeah, it was. That was when I was like still trying to like get my toes wet in the dance industry. So I wasn't doing too many dance jobs yet. So
you were with Pussycat Dolls, right?
Well, yeah, I was doing the Pussycat Dolls like burlesque shows, and we were traveling with that also. So, but yeah, I wasn't dancing for like any major artists yet. So the Dr. Pepper gig was cool for me.
Hold on, we're gonna pause 2 seconds. Zoom. Okay, keep going. FedEx showed up, and now we're back.
Where were we?
You were telling me about Pussycat Dolls.
Oh yes. Yeah, that was the first thing I did when I moved here. I actually had a little pit stop before I moved to LA, which was Vegas, where I went first. But I was only there for like a couple months, like 3 months max, where I danced at the Pussycat Dolls Lounge in Vegas, which was at Pier at the time. And then they were going to open one in LA. And I was like, please get me out of Vegas. I hate it here. Let me go to the one in LA. And so they they let me. I came, I did that for a little bit, which is probably around the time that I met you.
Mm-hmm.
And did Dr.
I remember I asked you once, I was like, can you dance better than Britney Spears? And you were like, yes.
That is amazing.
It was such a good question because the way you answered was like, are you fucking kidding me? Yeah, I can. I don't know, like in my brain, like what I was like, like, is Britney Spears like the best dancer to me at the time? Like, maybe
she was. I think at the time she was just like such an icon, especially as far as like dance and performance, that you're like, if you can dance like Britney Spears,
yeah.
You're it. And I'm like, yeah I am.
Like, I can dance like way better than Britney Spears. Like, oh, cool. I love it. I love it. So did you ever have any like moments, like when you started to finally become this like traveling dancer, that you were like, I don't know if I'm either going to make it, or like something's holding you back, or like any sort of situation where you're just like, shit, like, I don't know if I'm going to get there.
Yeah, I think like once you like book your first like traveling tour, you're like, oh, I made it. Right. So like Everything before that, up until that point, is like, am I ever going to be that girl? Am I ever going to be the dancer that tours, that's traveling, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What I was think your that, first like, tour?
My first tour was Pitbull.
Yeah.
Like Pitbull. Traveling tour was Pitbull. It was like a bus tour. Like you sleep in the bus, you travel on the bus, that whole
shebang. How long is a tour?
I think we were on tour for like a year and a half.
Holy shit. That's actually a long time.
Like you have some breaks where you like do like a 2 month run and then you have like a month off and then you go and do Vegas residency for a month and then you have 2 weeks off. So, but like over the span of like a year and a half.
That's amazing. And then so you have like the same dancers that come with you. So you kind of like form like a little family.
It's definitely a family. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's amazing.
Especially if you're like living on a tour bus. Yeah,
you have to be like friends with these people. Did you have any that you were like, I cannot be friends with this person?
I didn't have that, but when I was on tour with Pitbull, it was like the female dancers and the male band, we shared a bus.
Oh shit.
And so it was like the girls and the guys, and the guys just wanted to party and like bring girls on the bus and make music in the back and like loud, you know. And the girls, like, we wanted to take our makeup off, shower, put our onesie PJs on and like watch movies and eat popcorn. But the guys are like partying and drinking in the back. And you're just like, I want to go to sleep. And they're like banging on your bunk, trying to wake you up, just being obnoxious.
I love it.
Learn to deal.
Yeah. How long were you on the bus for?
While we were, I don't know. That's a good question. Like, it would be like a month at a time that we were on the bus. But then sometimes you get to cities where you're not traveling for a couple of days. So you're in a hotel room. It's the bus is like when you're traveling from city to city. So you'll do a show, you'll shower, you'll get on the bus and you'll travel overnight to like the next city.
I'm sorry, but that is fucking transformational travel in a nutshell. Like surviving that shit sounds so like, although here's another thing I remember about you from when we used to fly like to wherever. You always dress in like a hoodie and sweatpants, and you're like me. We were both able to like curl in really tiny balls on the plane and like put headphones in and knock out for like however long. So I feel like you were able to just like curl up in your little ball and like go to sleep. Do you still do that?
Oh my God. I'm like a pro sleeper, especially on a plane. Like I will fall asleep before takeoff and I will wake up after landing.
That's it doesn't amazing. Matter if
I'm tired or I'm not tired. Like you said, I'm like sweats, hoodie, even sometimes beanie. I like pull the beanie over my eyes and just lights out.
So good. That's so good. Yeah. I don't know if I could handle the bus. My issue is I'd probably be back there partying with the guys and then I would feel like shit. And I would be like, I can't, I don't know what I did. Like, oh, this is terrible.
Some days you had to give in and you had to go party because there was no avoiding it. So yeah, we were there sometimes too.
Totally. That's awesome. Okay. So let's like switch it up. Like, unless if you have any other stories that you want to share from like your traveling dancer, because I do want to hear about like how you freaking transformed into like this self-love coach.
I would say just as far as traveling, like where I really like travel. So Pitbull was like US, right? US shows. But where I really like, I feel like learned so much traveling was when I danced for Becky G, and Tyga at the same time. And it was like,
Whoa. Oh, wait, were they performing together?
no, it was just like, it was like summer and like they were doing festivals and like, God, I went to Spain with Becky like 100 times. I went to Mexico with her 100 times. I went to like Saudi Arabia, Abu Dhabi, Dubai with Tyga. So it was like these countries that I had never been to before. And
That's so fun.
there were a lot of spot dates, or like Becky had like 5 shows throughout Spain in the matter of like 2 weeks. So it wasn't necessarily tour, kind of, you know, but you would come home in between. But man, that is like, it's brutal on your like mental health,
I believe that.
mental and emotional health,
In
because
yeah, in
you,
what way?
oh my gosh. Well, first of all, you like, okay, travel 100 hours to get to another country. I'm exaggerating, but you know what I mean. You get to the country and then you have to like acclimate to the time difference, and then maybe you get there, you eat dinner and you sleep, and then you wake up and you have to go to sound check in the morning to, you know, like practice for the show later on. And then you get back and you eat, and then you maybe want to take an hour nap because the time difference is messing you up. And then you have to get up and you have to do your hair and your makeup and you're ready and go to the venue. Then you do the show. And then you get back, you got to eat something, and then you got to go to sleep because call time is 4 a.m. to go to the airport to make it to the next city for the next show, to go to
Oh
sound
my
check,
God.
to take a nap, to eat, to do the show. And mind you, everybody wants to celebrate after the shows, so you don't immediately go home and sleep. You have a drink and you go out to eat and you want to explore. So you know what I'm saying? And it was just like real lack of sleep and rest, which pandemic taught me was very important, but I was not getting any of it at the time.
I'm in not the same boat, but I understand more how to like lay low and rest than I did before the pandemic. That's super, super intense. So wait, so you're on tour right now, aren't you?
I'm not on tour, but I have a bunch of shows with Tyga and a bunch of shows with Major Lazer like currently.
So
So
would you say it's like because of this sort of schedule, it's easier to take these breaks and chill?
Also, what the pandemic taught me was like to manifest what I wanted like energetically, and I just knew that I didn't want to be on that kind of tour anymore, where I'm like not sleeping at all and like I'm overexerting myself in burnout mode. So I told the universe I only wanted to do jobs that were not exhausting in that way, and were just like, you know, like quick travel, do the show, come back. So I did manifest that for myself, and so these have been like just like one-off shows. You go and you do it, and you come back and you get to rest and you get to have your week to have routine and get your shit together.
Yeah, and you're kind of like, I still want to work with amazing artists. I still want to travel to exotic locations. I still want to get paid a really fucking bomb amount, but I want to do all of that without the like other bullshit.
Yeah, without the like hustle, go, never sleep. Like it was fine when I was doing it because I didn't know any better and I was living my best life and I was going to places I had never been to before and experiencing it with cool people and all of it. But now I'm slightly older and I have been through the pandemic that has awakened all of us and taught us a lot of things and what's important and what we want. And so I'm just approaching it slightly different. I still want all the same things, but I want it to be easy and fun, and I don't want to burn myself out.
I think a lot of people were burning themselves out pre-COVID, and that I have seen it's been a huge theme for people that they were like, I did not even know that I was burning the candle at both ends. And now that I know, like, how do I go back to like the life that you really can't go back to it. And I think that's why a lot of people have started turning toward coaching, self-love, manifestation. How did you, I guess, like figure out that you create your own reality or that you're co-creating with the universe?
Yeah, well, I've been on like a healing and personal development journey for most of my adult life. It really, really took off when my dad passed away almost 9 years ago. It just brought up like so many questions for me. I felt like everything that I used to connect to as far as like God, I wasn't connecting to anymore. It was just, it was like gone. And I felt weird and I had questions and I wanted to connect to something. So I was just really researching and like finding whatever I felt connected to. And I came across meditation, which then took me down the spiral of spirituality and all the healing things and yeah, and like manifestation, law of attraction and all those things. I just been like in that rabbit hole for many years now. And so while I was dancing and touring the world and all of that, I was working on myself as well and, you know, connecting to my spirituality. And I had healed myself of so many things like anxiety, depression, and insecurities, and just, you know, all the things that we carry as adults. And I knew, I was like, wow, like this journey I've been on, I've healed myself of so much. I probably could help other people do the same. I just didn't know what that would look like exactly. And I always just said like, this is something I could do after dance, right? Mm-hmm. And then the pandemic hit and I said, oh God, I think after dance is literally right now.
Yeah. I love
it. Oh shit. I was like, oh shit. Also, wow. At the same time, going through like a crazy healing journey. Why I thought I had been healing my whole life, but then like pandemic was like crash course in self-love and healing. The parts that you hadn't gotten to yet, you're going to do them right now. And I did. And I think that when I got myself to the, I call it like self-love boot camp. I realized at the beginning of the pandemic that self-love was a part of my journey that I hadn't gotten to yet. And it showed up really strong for me. And I put myself through self-love boot camp throughout the pandemic. And when I got to the quote unquote other side of it, because you're never on the other side of it, but you know, yeah. I saw like a small light at the end of the tunnel. I was like, okay, I'm ready to help people do this. And I literally made a flyer of like one-on-one coaching sessions and I posted it on my Instagram. And I just like prayed, like, I don't know what I'm doing and this is terrifying, but help me. And people started like purchasing my sessions and I got more comfortable with it. And I learned to love myself more, which made it for like more, I was able to hold more space for other people to go through their journey. And here I am. Now I do both.
I love that. And so when you say that you are kind of like coaching and you have the tools, but also intuitive, how does your intuition play a part in your coaching sessions?
Yeah. So it's crazy. I've been intuitive pretty much all my life. I just didn't really know it. And the more I did the inner work and the more I learned to love myself, the louder my intuition got and the easier I hear it, the better I could hear it, I guess you could say. And I took an intuitive course, like a 3-month like certification course. And I really learned how to like really tap into my intuition and trust it. And so if it taught me anything, it was that I was always working intuitively. I just didn't know it.
Absolutely.
And so basically everything that I do now, like my sessions, there's not really strategy to them. I kind of just come to them and intuitively, you know, like I receive messages from my spirit guides or their spirit guides or God, universe, whatever. Like when I'm having a session with someone intuitively, like I know what I need to say to them or what they need to hear, or if I should guide them through a visualization or if we should do a healing, like mm-hmm. I just intuitively know what to do. It just comes to me. It's really like, it's like not even me showing up to the session. I'm just like the vessel.
Totally. Yeah. I know exactly what you mean by that. Would you say like you receive your messages in like a clairaudient, claircognizant, like clairvoyant? Because I feel like, yes, we obviously all do have it all, but sometimes I feel like people's intuition comes because they can like see things or they just know things or they're like feeling things or they kind of like hear the like messages. Yeah. Like what would you say your gifts are there?
So I forget which is what, and maybe you can tell me, but I just know things. Like, I don't know why I know them. Okay.
That's what I am too.
And I love that. And that's, I think, why I didn't realize that I was intuitive the whole time, because that's the one that is like, I just thought it was me, like things I just were coming to me or things I knew. But when I realized that that was like my intuition, like telling me things, like in a way where it just like, it like downloads it into my system. And I just all of a sudden know it. And I don't know why I know it. It doesn't even need to make sense. But I know this information and I'm going to share it.
Yeah, totally. It's almost like one of those things where you're like, can watch a movie and you're like, why do I already know how that this movie is going to end? It's, you're like, oh, this is going to go like this and this is going to go like that. And everyone's like, how did you know that? Because it does, it turns out just like that. It's like that's their cognizant thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know why, but I know this.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think it's like, you know, the more that we quiet the rest of things down, people are beginning, how you kept saying, like it got louder and louder or easier. Mm-hmm. I think that's like kind of what's happening in the world, is like people are starting to tune in and be able to actually hear. Cause it's like, it is always knocking on your door all the time. But like, if you can't hear it or you've got too much like outward sensory stuff going on, you're never going to get there.
1000%. Like the outside world is so loud and has so much influence over us that we don't know or realize. And the more you can just tune into yourself and listen and be still and just be with yourself, it's all there. It's literally all there. You just have to tune everything else out.
Yeah. Yeah. So what would you say to somebody who's like out there right now having a very difficult time either loving their life or like loving themselves? Because I have actually had people before tell me that they don't know what self-love means. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, wait, what? Like a lot of people don't know what it means.
Well, I mean, I can relate to that because I thought I did, but I didn't until I did.
Right.
You know what I mean? It just like, I think that if you don't know how to love yourself and you don't know what self-love means, the first thing I'm going to say is like, I'm big on support. Like we all deserve support and we're not meant to go through things alone. So like, I don't know, buy a course, reach out to a coach, go to therapy, find a book that, you know, calls to you. I just think that we all deserve support. Like I had a coach at the time and I was telling her what I was feeling about myself. And she's like, babe, you don't love yourself. Like, let me teach you how, you know? And so thank you to her for guiding me through that. I'm now able to love myself and I'm able to help other people do it as well. And then the other thing I would say, as far as like what self-love is, here's the thing is like, at least for me growing up, nobody ever taught me to love myself. I was always taught to love other people. Like even the Bible says like, love your neighbor, love your brother, love your sister, love your wife, but no one tells you to love yourself. And it's mind blowing to me because if life is a mirror and law of attraction says you attract what you are, how can you ever attract people that fully love you if you're not loving yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And why is that not the first thing we teach people? You know, I learned that when I started to love myself in ways that I was loving other people and show up for myself in ways I was showing up for other people and putting myself on the pedestal that I had put other people on and just made the relationship with myself the most important thing in the world, that actually reflected on all my other relationships. And I was able to get what I wanted because I was giving it to myself first.
But Jamie, doesn't that make you selfish?
No, absolutely not. It makes you smart.
Yeah, totally. I agree. Man. Yeah, I can't tell you the like number of times that, and I don't know why people come to me for relationship advice, but like people do all the time. But they're like, you know, I don't like this about myself. I don't like this about myself. I can't understand why I can't find like a lover. And it's just like, well, like, we need to fix those other things first, because like, why would you want to be with somebody that doesn't like their life and doesn't like themselves? It just brings in the baggage, you know?
Yeah. It's just crazy. Like, you can't expect someone to love you a certain way or give you something if you're not willing to do it for yourself first. Like mm-hmm. that is mind blowing to me. I always was seeking like someone else to fill this void of like love. Like I wanted someone to love me. I wanted you to validate me. I wanted you to make me feel seen. I wanted you to support me. I wanted you to tell me I was beautiful, but I wasn't doing any of those things for myself. Mm-hmm. So it's like, how can I expect somebody to do something for me that I'm not willing to do for myself? I was mind blown.
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa. Okay, time to go within.
Yeah. So I guess like this is maybe what we should have started with, but like what would you say the signs and symptoms are of not loving yourself? Like what does that look like?
Ooh, okay. Not loving yourself. Signs and symptoms.
Because if we think that we are, but we aren't until we know what it is. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Well, okay. So something that was huge for me was like, I thought I was right. And then it took like one person not wanting, like somebody I was dating didn't want to be with me. Right. And previous to that, I was like, oh, I love myself. Like I'm doing the work. I love myself. And then this person didn't want to be with me. Like this person didn't want me. And because they didn't want me, all of a sudden I felt not good enough and my worth, like they left. And so did my worth. And that was the biggest awakening for me because I was like, I'm placing my worth and my value on outside things, right? And so I think like if you're really affected by somebody coming or going or somebody loving you or not loving you, it's like when you're super affected by what's happening outside of you, I think that's maybe a sign of lack of self-love, because when you fully love yourself, you know that if somebody leaves, your love, your worth, your value, your confidence doesn't go with them. And if it's going with them, that just shows you that you need to come back to yourself.
Completely. Yeah. And that goes, I think, with everything. Like, I don't have enough money in my bank account. All of a sudden, I'm not good enough. Or, mm-hmm. This person doesn't want to be with me. I'm not good enough. Or a lot of the time, I think self-love, and you can tell me your thoughts on this, like how it develops and stems from childhood and like the way our parents treat us and like the way our peers and stuff treat us as we're like starting to view the world with like these bright young eyes. It's so crazy how much that starts to like embed itself in our cells, in our psyche, and like all of it.
1000%. And like that's why I said I grew up nobody ever teaching me that loving myself was important, that loving other people was important. And that I got that from my childhood, from going to a private school and learning, love your neighbor, love everyone else but you. Or, no offense to my parents, but their parents didn't teach them self-love. So they didn't embody it. I didn't watch it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm picking up that like loving yourself is not important or I'm not learning that, you know what I'm saying? And then also like our parents have their own trauma where they don't feel good enough or they don't feel worthy enough. And then they project that onto everyone in their life, including their children. And now all of a sudden I'm like, cool, that's how you go about life. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. Got it. You don't have anything else to base it off until you get old enough and you're like, okay, time to take matters into my own hands. Like that's the story I've been hearing and experiencing up until now, but I don't want to experience that anymore. So what do I want to choose from here on out?
Yeah. So how do you deal with it when the story you've told yourself for so long, like how do you deal with it when you're like, okay, now I know this is the new me I decide I want to be, but that little story is like, no. And then you're like, no, 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 but, and it's like, no. And you're like, no, 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 but, like, how did you ever experience that and how did you overcome it?
Oh my God, of course I experienced that. And that's, as far as self-love, I would say that's why I put myself in self-love bootcamp during the pandemic, because that was when I finally decided like, wow, I don't love myself. I don't feel worthy enough. I don't feel deserving. I don't feel lovable. My confidence is trash. My insecurities are up the wazoo. Like I'm deciding now, I'm realizing like, I feel those ways because of past relationships and past situations and things I learned growing up. Cool. I know that now. I know why I feel this way. And now I'm deciding that I'm going to learn how to love myself and I'm going to tell myself a different story, which is I am lovable. I am worthy. I am deserving. All the things, right? And so I tell everyone, like, that old story, those old stories have a lot of momentum. You've been hearing them and telling yourself them over and over your whole life. So now it's like about giving it less attention and taking the momentum away from those stories and giving gaining momentum on your new story, right? And that's going to be a process. And this story, old story that has a lot of momentum, is strong as fuck.
Yeah.
And it's going to try to, it's, you know, it's like it's winning right now. And so it's up to you to have hyper awareness of all of your thoughts and your feelings and the stories you're telling yourself and your actions, and deciding, like, is what I'm doing right now, is what I'm saying, is what I'm thinking, how I'm acting, is this self-love or is this not self-love? How can I interrupt this with self-love? How can I meet this with love? And it's just having the hyper awareness of that all day, every day, and like constantly choosing love in all scenarios.
Would you say that choosing self-love has helped you manifest better?
Oh my God, 1000%. Every time people come to me and they're like, I want to manifest all these things, I'm like, but how do you feel about yourself? Where's your self-love at? Because ultimately what I realized was I wasn't manifesting the things that I wanted because lack of self-love told me I didn't deserve those things and I wasn't worthy of having them. So I'm sending out two signals that contradict each other to the universe, which is like, I want this. I'm not good enough for it though. And so the universe is like, well, if you don't think you're good enough for it, I can't give it to you.
Yeah. Would you say that learning self-love made your desires to manifest things shift? Meaning, like, did it ever go, like, maybe the focus was more on like material things, and did it shift into like more spiritual?
Yeah. I would say some of my desires that I've always wanted are still there. And then some of them have changed. I'm like, oh, I don't even want that anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, but then also some of the desires are the same, but their intention is different. Like I've always wanted a lot of money, right? But before it was like, I want a lot of money so I can be cool and be worthy and do all these things. And now it's like, no, I just want to have freedom. I want a lot of money so I can have freedom and live an abundant life that is my birthright, and like do whatever I want whenever I want for me, not for my ego to be cool and all the other things. You know what I'm saying?
I do. I absolutely
do. Entire different intention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I feel like whenever the last time I saw you, you were talking to me about like how Abraham Hicks was like a big like catalyst, I guess, for like kind of pushing you in that direction.
Yeah. So like you were saying, like those negative thoughts or those old stories, like try to creep in. And I struggled a lot with that. Like my thoughts were not that they were so negative. It was just like these old stories, like they really like, I didn't know how I was going to get past them. And I would bash my brain with Abraham Hicks, like wake up and like play Abraham Hicks, get in the car, play Abraham Hicks. And it was like my way of like reprogramming my brain so that I almost didn't have a moment to think a lack thought or think an old story, because I was like bashing the new story into my brain pretty much.
Yeah, I love that. So what would you say your next new story is? Like, how does traveling, dancing, booty shaking Jamie combine what she's got with her self-love coaching?
Mm. So I'm just like in the process of manifesting and creating like the real life of my dreams, right? Like I've always been trying to do that, but like I now believe that it's very possible for me. And I just really want, like, I know now that I can have all the things. I don't have to sacrifice anything. So I want my business to thrive, and I don't want to work that hard. Mm-hmm. I don't want to overwork myself and be busy every single day. I want to, you know, coach and help people and make a lot of money doing it and have time to also do dance jobs, but not too many dance jobs where I feel burned out, and then also have time to travel if I want to, or go stay at an Airbnb for 2 weeks and work from there and just literally do whatever I want, whenever I want, however I want, whatever feels good for me. That's just like my only focus right now. It's like having all the things I want.
I love that. Where would you travel to?
Hawaii's been calling me lately.
You haven't never been?
I've been
okay
years ago, but like lately it's just like telling me like I need the vibes.
Yeah. Which island?
I don't know. Maybe like when I haven't been to Maui, so
yeah.
Maybe when I go there. Also want to go to Greece. Never been
Greece
there.
Greece is magical.
I know, I've seen your pictures.
I recommend Greece to everybody because it's like Mykonos has got its own vibe. I was like, oh my God, this is like Vegas in Europe on the beach. Like, this is crazy. And it's definitely more of like a like be seen sort of vibe. And then Santorini is so freaking special. Like, that place is just perfection. And I went to a little island called Amorgos, and that's where I had my retreat, and it was just like beautiful. You need to host self-love retreats.
I know. I have a lot of things. I need to do retreats. I want to start my podcast. I want to course, all the things.
And you will. I see you doing like self-love retreats that also have a lot of like movement in them. So you can kind of like, you know, sacral chakra and connect to like dancing and creativity and like creating your new like vibe, your new life.
Yeah. Sacral chakra has been I've worked on that a lot in my self-love journey. It's interesting because you would think as a dancer that I would have been connected to my sacral chakra and like to my body. And I actually wasn't. Like, I was actually very disconnected from it because dance was just like something I always grew up doing. And it was just like a default talent. And like, I was robot dancing. What steps do you want me to do? But I was never just like dancing for myself and what felt good. Mm-hmm. And I was missing that in my sacral. And so something I've been working on. And so, yes,
that needs to
be incorporated in the self-love workshop.
Girl, I mean, I feel like, you know, like booty shaking and twerking, it's like it became a thing, but it actually like tribal dancing, we used to tribal dance. Like, we used to connect to our root in our sacral chakra, and like we were able to like bounce the negative energy out of us and like, you know, connect to like the stars and the gods in the sky. Like, it used to be what we did, and it just sort of like went away, and like now I feel like it's coming back.
Yeah. You got my wheels turning.
I love it. I can't wait to see what you create out of that. Yeah, perfect. cool. Well, I'm excited for all of the things you have coming up. I have a couple more questions for you before we wrap things up. I always ask people this question just because I'm always curious. But what would you say your magical superpowers are?
I have two. Self-love, huge superpower, and my intuition.
Oh, I love that. I love that so much. And then with your, you know, upcoming like workshops, you said self-love container. Can you tell everybody what that's about? And you work with people all over the world. It's all remote, right?
Yeah, everything's done through Zoom. So wherever you're at, come see your girl.
Yeah, perfect.
I offer a long-term coaching container where, I mean, like, heavy on the self-love, heavy on the intuition. I feel like a lot of what I do is like, people always come to me and they're like, help me, heal me, tell me the answers. And what I pride myself on is like guiding you back to yourself and your intuition and your inner voice and your heart-led desires. And that comes with really like diving into self-love and like making the relationship with yourself the most important thing in the world. So in my coaching container, it's minimum of 3 months. You can do longer if you choose. I am certified in Reiki. And let me go back. I'm certified in a lot of things, but basically everything is just like custom to the client and everything is intuitive. So like I do Reiki, I do energy healings, I do readings, like energy readings. And I just like intuitively guide the sessions and guide the container as far as like what I feel like you need. So
that's beautiful. So is it like one session per week or how do you?
Two a month. So like yeah. Every other week. Yeah. 2 month, 3 month minimum. And yeah, we learn how to love ourselves and trust our intuition and tune into our heart-led desires and manifest the life of our dreams.
Have you noticed some really big shifts with your clients that are in the self-love container?
Oh my God, yes, so much. It's like, it's And like, I get so hard on myself always the first session. I'm like, I need to be transformative for them. And I'm like, I need to do everything in one session. And I'm like, chill, girl. Like, it's only the first session. But that's why I do a container, because it takes a minute to get there, you know? And I notice that it's like month three with my clients where I'm like, wow, you are a completely different person than the first session. Like, you're not even the same person anymore. And I'm just so proud of them and like so honored to that they trust me to help them through this journey.
Yeah, that's amazing. Okay, girl. Well, wrapping it all up, what do you have to share? What are your last little bits and pieces?
Oh my God. I would say self-love is like the answer to everything. Literally everything you want comes with loving yourself first. Also, you deserve it. Like, the love you seek is the love like you're not giving yourself. So give it to yourself and then watch it show up everywhere else.
Oh my gosh, that's magical. You're making me want to just be like, I love you. I need like a little.
Literally fall in love with yourself.
I'm going to after this conversation. I want to have like a Mila party and just like. Because celebrate yourself. You really got like my wheels turning also. Like just about, I feel like I love myself. And like I did luckily grow up with like my dad always was like, you can do anything. And like, you know, I believe in you, Mila, and you've got all the talent. And like he always kind of put this like self-love into me. But there are so many other areas that I'm like, but why am I hating on that? And like, why am I hating on that? And like, you know, just certain things where I'm like, I feel stuck energy and I'm like, you can shift the energy. You can shift anything with love.
1,000%. It's just meet everything with love and you're golden.
Totally, totally. Where can everybody find you? How can they connect with you?
Okay, you can find me on my website is www.jamieleeruiz.com. You can find me on Instagram at jameslee4, the number 4. What else? That's it pretty much. Those are my main two.
I love it. That's perfect. Awesome. Everybody, I will link everything down below so that you can get in touch with Jamie, hop into her coaching container, and hopefully this episode sparked your inspiration to love yourself more and really jump on the bandwagon to shift your life in a big, big way. So if you're looking for more guidance on that, and if you're somebody that needs to tap into your intuition, which I believe all of us do, then go ahead and connect with Jamie over Instagram or her website.
Thank you so much. This was so fun.